Blog Talk Radio.
Those gates of Zion 100 times.
all over the world. I know that there are brothers that think like I do. According to the word of God, a righteous man, yes, a righteous man. A righteous man needs a virtuous woman. And I don't care what anybody says. A righteous man, a virtuous woman, fit like a hand and glove. There's so much love. A righteous man, I got a virtuous woman, fit unto me by God.
I don't wanna think about frequency frequently. As I release this frequency, speak to me. Every low foul listener, please keep from me. As I release this frequency. Oh, free my city, free my seat. Let my situation give me freedom. Let the generation give them mercy. Let the situation. Oh, be with me frequently. Let my situation give me love. Let the situation let them know. Know that you love. Know you can love. Oh, free my city, free my seed. Bless my situation, show me love. Let the generation let them know. That you love, know that there's love. Never far, we are never far. We are never far. We are. Frequency, frequently. As I release this frequency, speak to me. Every low foul listener, please keep from me. As I release this frequency. Oh, free my city, free my seed. Bless my situation, give me freedom. Bless the generation, give them mercy. Bless the situation. That you love. Oh, free my city, free my seed. Bless my situation, show me love. Bless the generation, let them know that you love, know that they love. Never far, never. That there's love. Lead them from temptation, make them royalty. All the things we face and make us question it. Lead us to salvation, pour that oil seed. That's how we become kings and queens.
Father, it's me again. It's Omari again. Yes, it's me again. Yeah. Protect me from my enemy. Jehovah, shield me from the evil way and free me. Jehovah, guide me, and just protect me from my enemy. Jehovah, shield me from the evil way and free me. Father God, may I beg you, guide and protect me from the evil out of road where you try to corral me. From all the wicked way you try to backstab me, and the one them way you plot me, take my life over vanity. Father God, me beg you, watch my family. Protect my friends as I bless my enemies. Me need you more in a distant time, cause out the road it just not pretty with the crime. Yeah. And Father God, me beg you, just stand beside me. Every day them just come at me if you try to derail me. But me thank you every day for the victory just a whole lamp on the plate. Me nah go make them distract me. And me say you to hustle hard in the street, working every day. Me talk the wife of the east, and I must fulfill my destiny. Then you hear children for watch over me and to over guide me, and just protect me from my enemy. To overdeal me from the evil way I free me. To over guide me, to over guide me, and just protect me from my enemy. To overshield me, to overshield me from the evil way I free me. Me say you sticky sticky, and out the road me say you mucky mucky. And then my youth are nowadays no afraid we make it up. What a pity, I be a gun so a lot the city. And round the world I be a calamity. No, it no pretty pretty, and out the road me say you dirty dirty. And every man will run the place like him and John. That's the what a pity, no more love than the inner the city. Just spend your love now cause we need it. Oh, my God, me, and just protect me from my enemy.
Draw me, Lord, from the wages of sin, yeah.
Draw me, Lord,
draw me, Lord, Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today, returning to read for me once again is one of my all-time favorite readers. He's an ABT day one-ish. This is the one, the only, Jeff the Bear. Go ahead, bro.
Peace, Brother Josh. Thank you for that introduction. And also peace to the elders, teachers, and students at ABT. And once again, thanks for the privilege of letting me read for today's lesson.
Praise God, Brother Jeff. Praise God. And of course, as always, we appreciate you reading for us today. And we look forward to any and all commentary that you may have. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to have a lot to say about this one because we're about to go in today. But before we do, let me first say to everybody on Clubhouse, welcome. If this is your first time studying with us today, we hope you continue to study with us on a regular basis every Sabbath. And we just hope that you are edified by today's lesson. But we got to lay down a couple of ground rules. For all of you who don't know, this is our Sabbath study. What that simply means is this is not an open discussion yet. It will become an open discussion once the class is over. So all you have to do is just wait until the class is over and then simply raise your hand. Once you do that, one of my mods will bring you up to the stage where you can ask any question or make any comments you want, provided you are respectful. That's the key word, respectful. And speaking of respect, to everybody in the chat room, please keep the chatter to a minimum. I know this is going to be one of those topics where everybody got something to say about it, everybody got their little two cents they want to put in on it, but try to keep that down until the study is over. That means we don't want anybody arguing back and forth with each other in the chat. Don't be posting random scripture, trying to debunk or just go against anything I'm teaching. If you do that, one of my mods will promptly expel you from the room, no questions asked. If you feel like you were kicked out unfairly, simply DM one of my mods, not me, because I don't really be checking my DMs while I'm doing the lesson, and explain to them that you think you were unjustly kicked out the room. But as I always try to tell y'all, my mods rarely, if ever, make these kind of mistakes. So I just want everybody to keep that in mind. But I know due to the nature of this particular class, because I know there are a lot of people who subscribe to a belief system known as the One West belief system, who will take one look at this title and just lose their mind, right? In situations like this, I understand that my mud may give people a little leeway to try to keep them around a little longer. Like, hey, listen up. May actually learn something. But I'm pretty sure y'all can tell from the get-go if this person is really going to try to stick around and learn something. Okay? So with that being said, the title of today's class is The Blessings of the Gentiles in the Kingdom. That's right. Today's class is titled The Blessings of the Gentiles in the Kingdom. And I decided to do this for obvious reasons, mainly two reasons. The first reason is, if you were here last week, we did a class titled The Gospel is for the Gentiles Too, One West Doctrine Refuted, in which we showed that the gospel of Jesus Christ was not just for the Israelites, as the One West Hebrews teach. We showed that it was prophesied all the way back with Abraham that the gospel would be for the other nations, i.e. the Gentiles too. It's indisputable. You can't get around it. It's what it says. You either don't believe the Bible or you're a fake Hebrew. At the end of the day, that's all it is. You can't get mad at me. I think sometimes people forget that we don't write this Bible, Jeff. A lot of people have this shoot the messenger syndrome when it comes to ADT. Look, we're just the messenger. What they're really shooting, though, is the message. So we showed that last week. That's on replay. The gospel is for Gentiles too. One West Doctrine Refuted. Just click on my thumbnail and scroll down to the replays, and you can check it out after you listen to this. And speaking of which, the replay number on that particular class is going up because I know a lot of people are interested in the truth from that side of the fence. You know, they try to pretend like we're just teaching a bunch of nonsense and just stuff up. But I can tell by the number of replays, the number of views in the replays, that people are starting to view this stuff and learn the truth. And the fact of the matter is, even though I love my One West Hebrew brothers and sisters, they are teaching a large amount of damnable heresies. And a damnable heresy is a doctrine that will damn you to hell. And telling people that the gospel is only for Israel when God himself told Abraham it would be for all nations, that's a damnable heresy. So the second reason I wanted to talk about this particular topic, the other reason, is because nobody really talks about the blessings of the Gentiles in the kingdom. Even people who know that the Gentiles will be in the kingdom with Israel in good standing, nobody really just focuses on that. So what I wanted to do was show that there are a lot of scripture that either people are overlooking or they are reading and just simply ignoring. Now, I know for a fact, y'all, and I'm very reasonable, I know for a fact that not everybody is going to catch every single detail of everything this Bible says. It's going to be somebody, no matter how smart you are, you're going to miss something. So I don't expect everybody to catch everything that I catch, and I don't expect to catch everything somebody else catches. That's only human nature. But when it comes to the blessings of the Gentiles in the kingdom, there is more than enough scripture for us to say that either the One West Hebrews are not reading this book as it is written, meaning they're not just reading through it and just taking it for what it says, or even worse, they are and they are being deceitful about what they are seeing. And by that, I mean they're not telling you about it. Because what they like to do, and, you know, we got people on the stage like, you know, Dre and Trilla, they can attest to this. When you bring stuff to their attention that undoubtedly shows the Gentiles in a favorable light, what they'll do is they try to make those Gentiles be Israelites. That doesn't work on us. We know how to contextualize scripture and show who the Gentiles are. But even still, they like to try to hide behind that word Gentile. They make the Gentiles be whoever they want to be. And you can easily show that the Gentiles are literal Gentiles, meaning non-Hebrew Israelites. You can do that, but depending on what verse you go to, you may have to put in a little work. Not hard work, but still work. So what I like to do is go to scriptures where you don't have to put in any work. You know off the bat, no possible way this could be an Israelite when it mentions the Gentiles here. So I don't even waste my time trying to put in hard work or any kind of work with these guys anymore, because I already got their little routine figured out. If they see the word Gentile or Gentiles in the Bible, it's this simple for them. If it says something positive about them, that's an Israelite living among the Gentiles or like the Gentiles. If it says something negative about them, those are actual Gentiles. That's all they do. I've literally tested this theory out. I've done it. And it's gotten so bad because in books like the book of Isaiah, it will mention the Gentiles, and in the same chapter, it'll say something negative about them, and it'll say something positive about them. And what they'll do, they'll say, oh, right here, this time out of Israel, when it says something positive. Right here, this time out the actual Gentiles, when it says something negative. But it's the same chapter, and there's no indication that there was a change of the meaning of the usage of the word Gentile in that chapter. Dre can attest to that one, I think. They do that a lot. But this is how backwards that doctrine is. So what we're going to do today, when we show you the blessings of the Gentiles in the kingdom, we're not going to go to any verses that they try to play with. And if we do go to some that they have played with, the foundation that we would have set by then will indisputably show that these are talking about actual, factual Gentiles, meaning non-Israelites. Because if I can show you that the gospel is for the Gentiles too, and I've already done that, then that means I should be able to show you the blessings that come with the gospel for the Gentiles. So we're going to start this off in the exact same spot we started out last week. That's going to be Genesis 12, and we're going to read verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Because it all starts with Abraham, sisters and brothers. And when you get there, Jeff, read, please.
Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee.
It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, who would later be named Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That land is the land of Canaan, which would later be known as the land of Israel. Right? Continue.
Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing.
Now look what he said to Abram. And I will make of thee a great nation. From Abram, He was going to make a great nation. And he says, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. That's still true to this day. People still talk about Abraham to this day. If you went to Sunday church, Father Abraham has many sons. Y'all know the song. It's a true prophecy, right? He just says, and thou shalt be a blessing. As I pointed out last week, he did not just tell Abraham that he would be blessed. He also told Abraham that he would be a blessing, meaning Abraham would be blessing people in some sense. Read verse 3.
Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
And again, Jeff, I cannot understand for the life of me how anybody who holds to that one West view could read this and not see that God has a blessing in store for the other nations. Look what it says. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. This is the question that I didn't ask last week, Jeff. What if a non-Hebrew bless Abraham?
When did the non-Hebrew?
No, actually, not when. I said, what if, did I say when? I meant to say, what if a non-Hebrew blesses Abraham? What did God just say? What will happen to people that bless him?
That he shall be a blessing amongst.
Right. Look what it says again. Read it again. Verse 3. You'll see what I'm going with. Read again.
And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Now, God just told Abram that I will bless them that bless you. So what if a non-Hebrew blessed Abraham?
Oh, they would receive a blessing.
They would receive a blessing.
Okay.
And on the other hand, if they curse him, they would receive a cursing. Do y'all see that? See, I didn't point this out last week, but God is letting everybody know right here that as far back as when Abraham was still walking the earth, if anybody blessed Abraham, God would in turn bless that individual. And I'm going to show y'all that this carried all the way to the children of Israel. But that's not even the point. The point is, he also said, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Again, I don't see how anybody could read this and get only Israel got a blessing coming. It said all the families of the earth shall be blessed in Abraham. And we learned last week that meant by extension, his seed, which was the children of Israel, who produced Jesus, the Messiah, and that's how the Gentiles would be blessed in Abraham, through his seed producing Jesus. We're not going to get too deep into that this time because we dealt with that last week. We're just going to dabble with it a little bit because I'm going in a completely different direction with this. Right? So now, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 7 and 8. Galatians 3, 7 and 8. That's a question that's never really been asked, has it, Jeff? What if a non-Hebrew back then, like an Egyptian, you know what I'm saying, or somebody, blessed Abram? You ever asked the one West Hebrew that? What if they blessed Abram? That's what God, anybody who bless you, I'm going to bless them. Anybody who curse you, I'm going to curse them. So if you wanted a blessing back then, if you knew about this, then you would bless Abraham. See, God put a lot in Abraham. But nobody likes to talk about these things. But it's Galatians 3, 7, and 8. So we've been exposed some stuff today, y'all. What do y'all see what I got in store for y'all today? It's Galatians 3, 7, and 8. We just get through what I like to call the preliminary. Galatians 3, 7, and 8. Go ahead and read.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham.
This is Paul talking to the Galatians. These are Gentiles, non-Hebrew Israelites. And we're going to prove this right now, because we just read Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3. And we know when God told Abram, or Abraham, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We know families of the earth includes the whole planet. But watch what it says. Go ahead and read.
Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed.
Now look what it says. And the scripture, that's the Old Testament, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. This is saying that the gospel was preached to Abraham. Gospel means good news, or good message, or glad tidings. It said, preach before the gospel, or good news, unto Abraham, saying, this is the good news, this is the gospel that God gave to Abraham, in thee shall all nations be blessed. We just read that in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. But Paul is using this to refer to the Galatians that he's preaching to. He is saying that they are a part of those families of the earth that would be blessed in Abraham. Proof that the Galatians, sisters and brothers, were actual Gentiles. If you try to make the Galatians be the northern kingdom or scattered Israelites, then that would mean that Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, was referring to scattered Israelites. Y'all know that's not the case. When God told Abraham that, Abraham's understanding of the families of the earth was everybody on the earth, all nations, the whole world. So when Paul made this reference, the Galatians, in this verse, he was saying, y'all are the fulfillment of that prophecy. But let me show y'all how this reads in other translations so it can show you how clear it is. Let me pull this up. Hold on 1 second. We're going to read it in the ERV. Easy to read version. This is Galatians 3. Here we go. We're going to read verse 8. In the ERV. Look what it says. The scriptures told what would happen in the future. These writings said that God would make the non-Jewish people right through their faith. God told this good news to Abraham before it happened. God said to Abraham, I will use you to bless all the people on earth. Do you see what that said right there, Jeff?
That makes it even more clear. You can't get past that.
You can't. But let me show you how it reads in a contemporary English version. Galatians 3, verse 8, also the CEV. long ago, the scripture said that God would accept the Gentiles because of their faith. That's why God told Abraham the good news that all nations would be blessed because of him. Does that sound pretty clear to you, Jeff?
That sounds pretty clear. And also, I remember you saying that the blessed one was he who liked to keep people trapped in. It's like right on the spot.
That's right. That's another reason why they highly recommend against using multiple translations of the Bible. See, we're not King James only. We're King James mostly. There's a difference. But we ain't ever told anybody, oh, don't use that translation or don't use that translation. No. Use whichever one you want. As long as it ain't one you made up yourself. Don't come with me with your Jeff Adair version of the Bible. You follow what I'm saying? Because, you know, if you made it up yourself, you're going to make it say what you want to say. Right?
Right.
But we can see that this was a prophecy. As long as you keep in mind that God promised Abraham all the nations on the earth would be blessed in him, which was through his seed, which was through Jesus Christ. Nobody can come and tell me that the Gentiles don't have a blessing coming in the kingdom. Nobody can tell me that. So why is it that when you talk to certain Israelite groups, all they say over and over again is, only thing the Gentiles got coming is slavery or death? Why do they tell you that? Somebody in that group is lying to you. See, this is how it always goes, sisters and brothers. You got the top guys. I'm giving y'all the whole hierarchy of how the lies work. You got the top guy. He may or may not, from the very beginning, knew what he was teaching was some BS. Maybe he knew, maybe he didn't. In the beginning, maybe he didn't. But as time went on, either through his own personal studies or through encounters with guys like myself, Trilla, Dre, and everybody else, they began to see stuff because we were showing them stuff, right? Even though they saw this stuff either through encounters with other people or through their own personal research, they didn't change. They didn't say anything. They just kept teaching the lie. That's the top guy. Then you got people under the top guy. We'll say the mid-level person. They only teach what they are taught. Now, these guys may or may not think and research for themselves. You know, it's a coin toss when you're dealing with the mid-level One West Hebrews. They may or may not study for themselves. But most of the time, these guys are just going to rehash what they were taught by the upper level. And then you got the lower level. These are the sheep. All they know how to do is regurgitate what they were taught. These are the ones that when you take them outside of their little box, they start short-circuiting. You can literally see it happening. You can tell like they're on the script. That's how you can tell, right? But I'm telling you all this to let y'all know that they know from dealing with us and people like us over the years that this whole salvation just for Israel, the gospel just for Israel, they know that that's the bull. See, it's just like when you're in the street gang, and Jeff know a little bit about this. When you get in so deep, you can't turn back. Like, you know you're wrong. You know you don't mess up, but you don't got in so deep, you feel like you can't go back. And that's how a lot of these guys are. They done got in so deep, they can't admit it now. That's what they feel anyway. Well, I can't say that now. I've been teaching for years that, you know, God only love Israel and salvation only just for Israel. So to save face, they're going to keep acting like they don't see what we're saying. But I know these people are not stupid. I know a genuinely stupid person when I'm talking to them. And these people are not, they're not that. But because they're so deep in, they ain't going to admit it. Because they got a lot of people who look up to them. And they don't want to shatter the confidence that these people have in them. So they're going to keep saying the same thing, even though either through encounters with us or through their own personal study, they know that what they've been teaching and what they've been taught is false doctrine. They know it. I refuse to believe that they're just deceived. I talk to these people. Y'all talk to them. They know. You can read Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Ain't no way in the world you're going to tell me one of the top leaders of a One West camp can't see that God is telling Abraham that the whole world is going to be blessed in him. You can't make that scattered. All the families of the earth, that's somehow scattered Israelites. Israel didn't even exist at that point. I mean, even the individual Israel, you know, the person, Jacob, even the individual Israel didn't even exist yet. But now, let's move on. Go back to the King James and just read Galatians 3 and verse 9.
Galatians 3, verse 9. So then, that which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
It says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. He said, they that be of faith is blessed with faithful Abraham. And Paul is telling this to the Gentiles, the Galatians. He said, they are blessed with faithful Abraham. Faith in who? In Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yahweh Shai. This is what he's telling these Gentiles. And he told them this was prophesied to Abraham as the gospel long ago. How can somebody miss something like this in the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter? Y'all understand what I'm saying? The 12th chapter. How did they miss that? But it's going to get a lot deeper, y'all. Like I said, we're going all the way today. Because I'm going to show y'all some stuff even in the Apocrypha that they can't get around. See, I like to go to stuff like this, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and this stuff in Galatians. They can't get around this. And I don't play the game of if I show you a verse, you just like, okay, and then you show me a verse. No, we don't do that. Not at ABT. If I show you a verse and I claim that that verse is saying something, then you have to show me from that verse that my interpretation of it is wrong. I'm not going to take you to Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and you're like, oh, yeah, well, let's go to Isaiah 50. No, we don't play them kind of games at ABT. We don't turn the Bible on itself. That's what they do. They don't even realize they're doing that. If Jeff throws a scripture at me right now saying, Josh, I think that we're supposed to still be keeping the dietary law. And I say, well, okay, well, look at this verse right here. And it's another verse that seems to contradict that. I just turned the Bible on itself. That's not how you read the Bible. But that's what they'll do. If you show them something that they can't get around, they'll be like, okay, well, what about this verse? No. Why am I telling y'all this? Because when you come on this stage, you will address, we'll expect you to address every verse we go to today. You know, we go to a lot of verses. But you will address Genesis 12, 1 through 3 before we talk about anything else. After that, anything you want to talk about on the table. But you will address that and give the proper exegesis of it. You're not just going to say, well, I see that, but let's go. No, no, no. Is it saying what we say is saying? That's the question. Is it saying that everybody on the earth would be blessed through Abraham? I need a yes or no on that before we move on. Yes, cool. No, why not? But now let's move on. Let's go to Psalm 67. This is another thing we have to learn about having Bible discussions with people, y'all. Y'all can't let people get away with stuff. See, that's why a lot of people don't like to talk to me, because I don't let people get away with stuff. We're not listening to each other when we do stuff like that. I throw a verse at you, you say, oh, yeah. Then you throw a verse at me, and I say, oh, yeah, and I throw another verse at you. What kind of studying is that? Nobody's addressing each other's point. Nobody wants to admit that the other person even has a point. Somebody a long time ago should have been like, yeah, that Genesis 12, 1 through 3, that definitely is saying that everybody on the earth is going to be blessed in Abraham. Even though I can't really say how, that is what that is saying. See, that's humility. That's honesty. Throw that at the one West Hebrew. He's going to say, yeah, well, let's go to Matthew 15. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house. What does that got to do? So what you're saying is, and y'all don't even understand that when you do stuff like that, essentially what you're saying is what you're getting out of Matthew 15 voice out Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Is that how the Bible works? God says something and it's legit until he says something later and erases it? That's what they'll do. And it's not just them. Christians do it too. Muslims do it. That's how people debate. I don't like to debate like that. That's why my favorite part of the debate is the cross-examination. Because in the cross-examination, you get to make them deal with stuff, and when they don't, you can point that out, that they're running from that. But that's what people will do. That's not how you debate. Somebody throws a scripture at you, and they say it means this, then you either acknowledge that their exegesis is correct and agree with them, or you say it's wrong, and you disagree with them and show why it's wrong, which means you're going to give the right exegesis. That's what you do. But we don't do that. We'll just throw something else at you. That's all we do. We just ignore other people's stuff. We don't listen to each other. Right? But check this out. Because I'm going to show y'all that it was always God's intention to bring the Gentiles in, so they could be blessed with Israel. And it's prophesied in the book of Psalms numerous times, right? So this is Psalm 67. Now check this out, Jeff, and we're going to read verses 1 to 4. Now read that.
Psalm 67, verse 1. To the chief musician or neginoth, a psalm or song.
Mm-hmm.
God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah.
Now the psalmist in this verse is talking about God being merciful to us, meaning Israel. No doubt about that, but continue reading.
Verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations.
Now look what them just said right here. God be merciful unto us, talking about Israel, and bless us, still talking about Israel, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah, still talking about Israel. That thy way may be known upon asking God to be merciful to Israel, so that God's way, his merciful way, can be known upon earth. Then he says, your saving health among all nations. We're going to look up the word translated saving health. there, right? But keep reading.
Verse 3, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee.
Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. When it says all the people, this is about everybody on the earth, not just Israelites. They're going to show you that in the next verse. Go ahead and read.
Verse 4, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah.
Jeff, can I ask you a question? Why in the world would the author of this psalm tell the nations to be glad and sing for joy if he knew that the only thing the nations had coming is death and slavery?
That wouldn't make any sense.
Can anybody on this stage explain to me how that would make sense? Anybody want to take a shot at that? Anybody? Does that make sense to you? Put it this way, since most of us are so-called African-Americans. Y'all know what I mean when I say that, most of us, right? Can y'all imagine when they first came to Africa and were picking up slaves and the white man told African people, rejoice, because we are here to kill and enslave you, but they tell you to rejoice and be glad. What do you think them African people would have said to them? What do you think they would have said, y'all? That doesn't even make sense. You don't tell somebody to rejoice and be glad before you kill them and conquer them and enslave them. That doesn't make sense. This is an invitation for something good. This is a good thing. It reminds me of the movie The Avengers, Infinity War. The one where, you know, Thanos did the snap. Y'all remember at the beginning of the movie, Ebony Maw on Thor's ship, they killing people, and he's telling them, rejoice, right? Because even in death, you are children of Thanos. The whole point of that scene is to show you how twisted they are. Because they're slaughtering them left and right, and Ebony Maw, who was like a prophet for Thanos, he's telling them to rejoice and be glad. Smile. He's telling them to smile. But the whole point of that scene was to show you how twisted it is for somebody to be saying that to somebody before they kill them. Well, that's the one with Hebrews. That's the way they would have to interpret this verse. Ebony Maw wrote this verse. Hear them tell it. Rejoice. Because y'all just going to be enslaved and conquered. No. That doesn't make sense. And y'all know that. Right? Read verse 4 again.
Psalm 67, verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah.
It said, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously. The nations are going to rejoice and be glad because they're going to know that God is a righteous judge, meaning he's only going to punish the Gentiles that were abusive to his people. Why would they rejoice if they knew this God is about to punish everybody regardless? See, these are the common sense questions that are not asked at these one West camps because these verses are not even pointed out in the first place. But let me show you the word translated saving help. And it's 3444 in the Hebrew section of the Strong's Exalted and Corinth. Let me get here. Let's see. That's Psalm 67. I've always found it strange that stuff like this is in the Bible, and it doesn't line up if all the nations are going into captivity or being destroyed. Why would he be telling them to rejoice? And you know this is a prophetic psalm because that did not take place in David's time or Solomon's. Y'all know that. But this is the word translated saving him. And that word is, and guess what it is? Check this out. It's Yeshua. Yeshua. Y'all know, like, the Hebrew name for Jesus? Yeshua. And it says, feminine passive participle of 3467, something saved. That is, abstractly, deliverance, hence, aid, victory, prosperity, deliverance, health, helping, salvation, save, saving health, welfare. And if you do a search on this word, it'll tell you that this is the word translated salvation most of the time in the Old Testament. So what this is saying is that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy salvation among all nations. Why would the author of Psalms want the heathen to know about God's salvation? Why do you think he wanted them to know that, Jeff?
Because he was familiar with the prophecy in Genesis.
Yes. But why would you, Jeff, be interested in somebody that can save? Why would that interest you? Think about it. If you were a drug addict, why would you be interested in some crack?
Because that makes you...
That's something you're interested in, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
So what type of person would be interested in salvation? Somebody who needs to be what?
Somebody needs to be saved.
Somebody needs to be saved. So why is this author of Psalm saying, we want you to show your salvation to everybody on the earth so the other nations could know that only the God of Israel can save, and then they would come to him. That's the whole point of this. This is an invitation as well, y'all. I'm going to show y'all plainly. In the book of Psalms, they are inviting people from the other nations. Come join us. Our God is great. Your gods are idols. They can't save. Our God can. But I'm going to show you that.
Right. Also on a smaller scale, when Israel was coming out of Egypt, there were some Egyptians that joined them. So that showed right there that he's not going to destroy everyone. There was people that believed in the God that knew how he worked and were impressed by that and wanted to join Israel.
Exactly. And we're going to see that more and more. But when we really get deep into this thing, you're going to see that they're going to be done with the Apocrypha. They put down the Apocrypha after today. And that's their book. And when I say their book, I mean the one with Hebrews. Like, you got a lot of Hebrews in general that read the Apocrypha, but one with Hebrews read the Apocrypha more than the average Hebrew count. So when we go to the Apocrypha and we start reading stuff about the Gentiles, actual Gentiles, oh, it's going to make it real clear, Jeff. They ain't going to make it play that, oh, this time I'll scatter Israelites. It's going to draw a divide between the two. No way are you going to be able to try to play with them. But we see early on telling the other nations to praise him, rejoice. But watch this. Still in the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 117. That's a little small chapter, Psalm 117. Ain't number two verses. Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2. Now watch this now. This is in the book. When you get there, Jeff, read, please.
Psalm 117, verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people.
Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Okay? That's kind of a crazy thing to say to the Gentiles if all they got to look forward to is slavery and death. Now, he's not saying praise him, Gentiles, or else you're going to get slavery and death. Right? He didn't say that. But why in the world would he be telling them to do that at all, Jeff, if all they got to look forward to is slavery and death? Can you imagine? Jeff, they used to be a Jehovah Witness.
Yes, sir.
And y'all know they do the house ministry, the house-to-house ministry, right?
Yes.
Can you imagine if a Jehovah's Witness knocked on your door and said, let me tell you about the kingdom of Jehovah? And you're like, okay, I'm interested. I'll listen. Oh, certain people are going to be destroyed or enslaved in Jehovah's kingdom. And you're one of those people. They tell you that at your front door, right? And you'd be like, okay, what can I do to avoid that? Nothing. But we still want you to praise Jehovah.
Right.
Who's going to do that? Who's going to want to praise a God that is going to punish you regardless and in the worst way? That doesn't make sense. Y'all know it doesn't. So he said, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. And then he's going to tell you why you should do it. Read verse 2.
Verse 2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.
And the us right here, you know this not referring just to Israel right here. Because why would the author of this psalm be like telling the nation, praise God, because he was merciful to Israel? They're going to be like, and what they got to do with us? He's telling them to praise the Lord because his merciful kindness is great towards us, all of us, Jews and Gentiles. Why is God being merciful and kind to the Gentiles, if according to the one West Hebrews, he hates them? Is it starting to make sense yet, Jeff?
It makes a lot of sense.
These are invitations to the nations to come with Israel and rejoice and serve the true and living God. This all goes back to that blessing. Even back then, the Israelites were extending the invitation to be blessed with Abraham. That's what this is all about. In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's why they're trying to get the nations. See, what they like to do, Jeff, is cherry pick scripture. That's what one West Hebrews do. They'll take you to all these scriptures where God is punishing the nations. We know God is going to punish the nations. I can do the same thing with Israel. I can show you scriptures where God is going to redeem Israel, and I can show you scriptures where God is going to punish Israel. Two sides to every coin. I mean, come on. But I would never just show you one side of the coin. That's where the deception comes in at. So you can't read stuff like this and tell me that they are not trying to extend an invitation to the nation. He's telling them to praise them. And y'all know that praising the Lord, well, I'm assuming, let me just put it out as a question. Jeff, what do you think he meant when he said praise the Lord? How exactly do you praise the Lord according to Israel?
Prayer, sacrifice in the way that you
live. Exactly. Do y'all think that when he said this, he meant for the nations to just jump up and say, praise the Lord, Y'all think on stage that's all he meant?
No.
No. That's not all he meant. Praising the Lord is not just in word. It's also in deed. Right? And he told them why you should do it, because of his merciful kindness being great towards us. You can't get around stuff like this. All of this stuff is prophetic. Let's move on. Still in Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 66. Biggest book in the Bible, too, by the way. Somehow they miss all this, Jeff. How do they miss all this? How do they not know this? Explain to me what would be the point in telling the heathens to come praise the God that ain't going to do nothing but kill and enslave you. What type of incentive is that? Nobody's going to do that. That's how I know they weren't doing that. This is Psalm 66, verses 1 to 5. Go ahead.
Psalm 66, verse 1. To the chief musician, a song or song.
Mm-hmm.
Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye land.
He said, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye land. We're going to show you who that means. But if they make a joyful noise, I'm still trying to wrap my head around, Jeff. How would you make a joyful noise if you're being conquered and killed? Did the slaves in America, were they making a joyful noise? Why am I asking y'all that question? Because they like to compare American slavery to what they think they're going to be doing to the Gentiles in the kingdom. That's what they like to do. So I'm trying to figure out, how does that gel? How does that work out? Why would you be telling them to make a joyful noise? That's insane. Even the white slave masters, when they were trying to wrangle up the slaves, they weren't telling them, hey, make a joyful noise, boy. Sing, girl, sing joy. They told them to sing to keep their mind off of their troubles and to entertain them. But they weren't telling them to rejoice at the slavery itself. That's crazy. Go ahead and read.
Verse 2. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah.
It said, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. And we know from verse 1, it's telling you that it's going to be a joyful song that they sing. That's backwards if they're going to be enslaved and killed. That's backwards. Y'all know that is. The only time people make joy is when something good is happening. That's just common sense. But then, read verse 5.
Verse 5. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men.
Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. A Hebrew wrote this psalm. And he just told you in verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee. Shall, that's future tense. I mean, that's a prophecy. All the earth shall worship thee. He said, come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He said, come and see. That sounds like an invitation, don't it, Jeff?
Yes.
He's inviting the whole world to come see the work of God. Why would he be saying all of that? Why would he tell you to make a joyful noise? Come and see the works of God. That sounds like something he's trying to get you to come check out that you're going to like. Now, if you keep reading all of this, he starts going through, like, the miracles that God did for Israel. You can read all that on your own time. Skip down, Jeff, and read verse 16.
Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul.
He said, come and hear, all ye that fear God. Who is all ye that fear God? Verse 4. All the earth shall worship thee. So he's including the Gentiles in that. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he have done for my soul, meaning for my life. So the author of this psalm is telling the whole world, come and hear if you fear God, and I will tell you everything he's done for me. Sound like one of them old Sunday school, not Sunday school, but Sunday morning testimonies, don't it, Jeff?
Yeah, well, as far as, like, you know, yeah, the church system.
Yes, you know that early woman gets up, I just want to tell everybody what Jesus done for my life. That's what this guy is saying right here. But who's he inviting to hear his testimony, Jeff? Who's he inviting to hear?
All the nations that fear the Most High.
Now, let me ask you a question, Jeff. Why do you think he thought they would be interested in the good things God has done for him?
Why, say that again.
Why do you think he thought the nations would be interested in the good things God had done for him?
I guess because they would be looking for salvation.
Close. Very close. That's in there. That's part of it. But remember, think of it like this. The book of Psalms, when these particular type of psalms, they're basically sales pitches. And what I mean by that is they're trying to sell you on why you should worship the God of Israel. Like, look at all the great things he's done for me. So you should come and get to know him so he can do what?
So he can bless you.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what's going on here. This is the whole reason why he said come and see. See, that's how Israel, true Israel, righteous Israel, that's how their mindset was about the Most High and the heathen. They say, we serve a good God. He's the best. He's the Most High. He's real. He's living. He's done so much for me. Come and get to know him. He could do the same for you. Think about it, Jeff. Why would some random Hebrew write a psalm asking the entire world to come hear about what God has done for his life if he knew they, number one, why should they care if God ain't going to do the same thing for them? That don't even make any sense, does it?
No.
Y'all know that don't make any sense. But it would make sense if he felt God could do the same thing for them. See, this is how you read these psalms when you put them in context. All these are just blessings. He blessed me, he can bless you. He's telling everybody, praise God, the whole world, all these Gentiles, that we got all that out the way. Let's go to the Apocrypha. Let's go to Tobit. Because now we're going to read something that they will never show you. They will never show you this. We're going to go to Tobit 13. It's on page 33 in the Apocrypha section of the Septuagint. Now, I haven't come across a one West Hebrew yet that's had a problem with the Apocrypha. They're going to have a problem with it after today, because Tobit is about to lay it down. He's about to lay this down. He's going to be drawing on prophecy. Y'all going to see. This is Tobit, chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to skip.
Give me 1 second, Josh.
That's cool.
I got to, I'm using this app for the first time.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you said 13?
Yes, and verses 1 through 5. Right? Because we got to put an end to the game. I'm tired of people pretending like the Bible backs them up. You follow what I'm saying? Just say you don't like certain ethnic groups. You don't like white people. You don't like Africans. That's fine. That's between you and the Most High. But stop lying on the Most High. Stop lying on his word. Right? That's the part I can't stand. If you really just genuinely hate another group of people, then just hate that group of people. Okay, whatever. But when you start trying to bring God into it, it just really shows me that you don't even think you're strong enough to stand on your hate alone. You got to bring God into it. You got racist white people that don't even do that. You follow what I'm saying? You ain't even man enough to be like, yo, I hate those people. Nah, you got to hide behind religion. Y'all don't even understand how weak that is. It's a lot of weak people in these one West groups. Not physically. I ain't calling you weak physically. Don't come. I'll show you how weak I am, Jodie. You can send a 6'5" hulking individual on my front porch. No, I ain't mean you were weak in that sense. I mean in your heart, your mind. You know, you call them weak, they automatically think physically. No, if you don't like white people, just don't like white people. Don't try to lean back on your religion. That's weak. You follow what I'm saying? You ain't got to do all that, bro. Or sister, you ain't got to do all that. I got more respect for a brother that just come out and just tell me, yo, I just don't like them because of, you know, what they did to our people. You need to pray that you can get over that. But at least that's true. But don't try to drag God into it. See, now you're going to get in trouble with him even more. But Tobit, chapter 13, 1 through 5, read this.
Tobit chapter 13, verse 1. Blessed be God that liveth forever.
Hold on 1 second, Joe. I know the way it's written. Can you go up one verse? I know it's strange like that, because I want you to read this part.
Gotcha. Okay, I see what you mean.
Exactly.
You're talking about like the subheading, subtitle.
I didn't even know that was a subtitle. It looked really weird, don't it?
Yeah, it says, then Tobit.
Yeah.
Prayer. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
My bad. Okay, Tobit chapter 13, verse 1. Then Tobit wrote a prayer of rejoicing and said, blessed be God that liveth forever, and blessed be his kingdom.
Now I want y'all to pay attention to this. It said, then Tobit wrote a prayer of rejoicing and said, blessed be God that liveth forever, and blessed be his kingdom. So we're talking about the kingdom now. We got into the kingdom, right? But go ahead and read.
Verse 2. For he doth scourge and hath mercy. He leadeth down to hell and bringeth up again. Neither is there any that can avoid his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Confess him before the Gentiles, ye children of Israel. For he hath scattered us among them.
Now that separation has clearly been drawn, hasn't it, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Confess him before the Gentiles, ye children of Israel, for he hath scattered us, the children of Israel, among them. Okay, keep reading.
Verse 4. There declare his greatness and extol him before all the living. For he is our Lord, and he is the God, our Father,
forever.
It says, there declare his greatness. There where? Among the Gentiles. And extol him before all the living. That means praise him before all the living. For he is our Lord, and he is the God, our Father, forever. Okay, verse 5.
Verse 5. And he will scourge us for our iniquities, and will have mercy again, and will gather us out of all nations, among whom he has scattered us.
So it's clear that Tobit is drawing a distinct line between the Gentiles and Israel. He even used the word scattered, right? Everybody see that so far before we go any further? On stage, do everybody see that? Keanu, Nautica, Stephanie, everybody see that? Okay, let's not play. Real clear. Let's not play. Okay, then. Skip down, if you will, Jeff, and read verses 11 to 18. He's right on the very next page.
No. Chapter 13, verse 11. Many nations shall come from far to the name of the Lord God with gifts in their hands, even gifts to the King of heaven. All generations shall praise thee with great joy.
Wait a minute. Tobit said many nations shall come from far to the name of the Lord God with gifts in their hand, even gifts to the King of heaven, all generations shall praise thee with great joy. How you gonna praise them with great joy, Jeff? All they got is slavery or death coming. But it don't, we gonna keep reading though. It's gonna get better. Keep reading.
Verse 12. Cursed are all which hate thee, and blessed shall all be which love thee forever.
Does that sound familiar to you, Jeff? Does that sound like something? What it sound like?
The prophecy in Genesis?
It does, don't it?
Yeah.
That's a reference to it, and Tobit is applying it to God. Why is he saying that? He said, cursed are all they which hate thee, and blessed shall be all, blessed shall all be which love thee forever. But in the previous verse, he just said, many nations shall come from far to the name of the Lord. So he's saying these many nations, if they love, they are going to be blessed. That's what he just said. That game set a match right there. They got to get rid of Tobit. Tobit is gone. Tobit just said that many nations shall come from afar with presents for God. They got to love them if they bring them presents. And they say they're going to do it with joy. Do y'all see that? Drake, do you see that? That's right there. You can't play with this. This ain't one of the ones where you can play the scattered nations crap, scattered Israelites crap. You can't do it with that. It's that many nations. Right? And then he said, cursed are all they which hate thee, and blessed shall all be which love thee forever. So if these nations love God, it said they're going to be blessed. That's what Tobit just said. That's in the Apocrypha. Y'all do believe the Apocrypha. Don't you want to read Hebrew? See, if you were a real Hebrew, a sincere believer, reading something like this, that should be your last day as the one with Hebrew. You should back up and leave your camp right there. Like, yo, I'm done. This plainly says that the Gentiles are going to be blessed in the kingdom. And I'm going to show y'all that this is during the time of the kingdom. In fact, y'all already know that this is during the time of the kingdom because y'all know this ain't happened yet. So how come they never point this out, Jeff? This is during the time of the kingdom. Why they don't point this out, Jeff?
Because they have an intent paid for the Gentiles, and they don't want them to have salvation because they're in their emotions, you know, about
right.
the labels and things like that.
But these guys are liars. See, these are the false prophets that our forefathers had to deal with back in the day, only today. Israel always suffered badly from false prophets and false teachers. That was a common occurrence. These camps are going to get a lot of y'all sent to hell. If I read something like this as a one West Hebrew and I'm honest, I'm like, yo, ain't no getting around this. Tobit is making it plain. And y'all told me Tobit is a book of the Bible. But it gets even deeper. Go ahead and keep reading.
Tobit 13:13. Rejoice and be glad for the children of the just, for they shall be gathered together and shall bless the Lord of the just.
Now look what it says. Rejoice and be glad for the children of the just, for they shall be gathered together and shall bless the Lord of the just. We know from reading in the earlier verse, he talked about gathering back the children of Israel. Remember that? So he said, rejoice for them. But watch what else it says. Go ahead and read.
Verse 14. Oh, blessed are they which love thee, for they shall rejoice in thy peace. Blessed are they which have been sorrowful for all thy scourges, for they shall rejoice with thee when they have seen all thy glory and shall be glad forever.
Now, look what he said. He said, rejoice and be glad for the children of the just, for they shall be gathered together and shall bless the Lord of the just. Oh, blessed are they which love thee, for they shall rejoice in your peace. He said these people that love him, there's going to be the nations that love him and the children of Israel that return back to him. He said they're going to rejoice in his peace. Whoever found peace in slavery and death? That's not peace. When God gave the prophecy in Deuteronomy 28 to Israel, going into captivity, it didn't sound like it was peaceful to me. So who are these nations that are going to be enjoying this peace? This is in Tobit. You can't rewrite this. You can't make it say something else because Tobit already made it very clear who is who. Look at these.
Verse 15. Let my soul bless God, the great king, for Jerusalem shall be built up with sapphire and emerald and precious stone, thy walls and towers and battlements with pure gold. And the streets of Jerusalem shall be paved with beryl and carbuncle and stone of Ophir. And all her streets shall say, Alleluia. And they shall praise him, saying, blessed be God, which hath extolled it forever.
And we know this is in the future because this hasn't happened yet. This is somebody doing the millennial reign. I'm going to show you exactly where Tobit got both of these concepts from. I mean, the part about the nations bringing presents to the Most High and coming to Jerusalem, and this part about it being built up with precious stones. But Tobit lets you know that there are going to be nations that love the Lord. And they're going to rejoice with him and find peace. You can't just go to verses that talk about the bad nations and what God is going to do to them. What God is going to do to them. That's deceptive. This is the problem I have with the One West camp. Not everybody. The sheep, they just don't know no better. They just regurgitating whatever they're told. It's that middle and upper management I have a problem with. Because you show them stuff like this, and they won't budge, even though they can see it. See, those are the ones who are the real threat to your salvation. Because they'll sit on stuff like this and never tell you. So we have to bring it out. These people are more interested in preserving their pride than in saving your soul. I'll admit I'm wrong a million times before I let one of y'all go to hell for it. But they care more about their ego. That's how I know these people are not from the Lord. And I'm only talking about the ones who you show stuff like this. They're not stupid. I can show this to anybody at any count, a One West count. It could be ISUPK. It could be Sakari. Y'all understand what I'm saying? IUIC. They can see this. They can break it down. They may not say it in front of everybody, but they can see it. That is what they're saying. But they ain't going to walk and tell their congregation that. See, now you got to rewrite your whole agenda. The reason why they don't like stuff like this, but it's right here in the Apocrypha. Y'all ain't read Tobit chapter 13? Tobit ain't even that long of a book. It ain't nothing but 14 chapters. Right? But let me show you where he got these concepts from. First, let's go to Isaiah chapter 2. He said, all that love thee shall be blessed, and all that hate thee shall be cursed. And he was talking about those other nations coming, bringing him those gifts. And he said, they're going to do it with joy. Then he said, with joy, Jeff.
That's right.
With joy. You can read this prophecy where it's going to be some people got to be forced to do it. But this ain't talking about the ones that got to be forced to do it. It's Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I don't see how they do this. It's real easy to expose. The Gentiles got a blessing coming too. It was already prophesied to Abraham. You can't just erase prophecy because your camp leader said he don't like the Gentiles. How does that even work? The problem is you got too many men worshipers around here. A lot of y'all don't mess around and join the cult. That's what y'all don't understand, man. I don't like to really just throw that word around, but it is what it is. The way you know you're in the cult is when the leader's word carries more weight than the Bible. That's how you know you're in the cult. That's the number one way to know. There's a lot of other signs, but when the leader's word carries more weight than the Bible, that's how you know you're in the cult. Real easy. You going to read Tobit and tell me that ain't what that means? I would love for One West Hebrew to exegete Tobit for me, Tobit 13. And don't play any games about it. And we ain't done with Tobit either. This is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Go ahead and read.
Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, all concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that let you know this is come out in the future. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hill, and all nations shall flow unto it. This is talking about Jerusalem. He said, all nations shall flow into it. That means people from all nations are going to be coming to Jerusalem. For what? Keep reading.
Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Now, wait a minute. It said all nations shall flow into it. And it says, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. This sounds like some people who want to do this. Doesn't it, Jeff?
Yes, it's voluntary.
Yeah. Does anybody else, do anybody else on the stage agree that this sounds like something they want to do? Is anybody else getting that out of that? You come off your mic, Dre, Nautica, Trilla, if you're available, Ariel, Keanu, Judah Gator 100%.
Yeah,
put a one in the chat if it seems like in verse 3, the nations are looking forward to doing this. They said, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So the law is going to go from Jerusalem to the whole world. They said, let's go. Let's go learn about this law. That's all for you Christians to think about. You know this law y'all said is going to be done away with? He showed it mysteriously pops the heck back up, didn't it? And the whole world going to have to follow it. They just thought for the Christians to think about. And don't try to make this law be some old new law out of nowhere. The same law that Isaiah talks about in this entire book, which is the law of Moses. But read the next verse.
Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Now, you know this is the future. Because this is a time in history where there will be no more wars, or even rumors of war. He said, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, they're going to turn their weapons of war into farming tools. But the point is, the nations are going to come to learn about the Most High. This is where Tobit got this from. This is during the same time where these kings are going to be coming, bringing these presents. And they're going to love God. And he said that those who love God are going to be blessed by God. Slavery and death is not a blessing, y'all. That's not a blessing. That's a curse. Slavery and death is for the ones, like Tobit told you, who's going to hate God. Those are the ones, one West Hebrews among the Gentiles, who are going to be enslaved. Y'all want to put them all in the same pot. You can't do that. That's not how the Most High works. That's how your racist leader works. But let's see where Tobit got that other part from about Jerusalem being built up with precious stones. Still in Isaiah. He got both of these concepts from Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 54. See, that's what I like about the Apocrypha. Because you know what they do? They expound on what the prophets predicted. and they give us the context of it. Tobit made it very clear. These are Gentiles coming to bring the Most High presence. Y'all know that. So you going to try to rewrite Tobit now? You can't say those are scattered Israelites. He already told you that the Israelites are scattered among the Gentiles and there praise God in the presence of the Gentiles. That's part of the reason they're going to want to come to the God of Israel. Y'all also do know that when you praise God, when you're giving somebody praise, you're teaching people about them. Y'all do know that's also what it means to praise God. When we say we praise God, we're not just saying, God, thank you, you're great. Praising God also means promoting him.
Right.
That's what Tobit was telling his people to do. Promote him among the Gentiles. That's how they learned about the God of Israel. Y'all are defaming him among the Gentiles, 1 West Hebrews. Y'all making the Gentiles want nothing to do with the God of Israel. That's why I know what the Most High got in store for y'all. Y'all ain't part of their remnant that's going to go back. I keep telling y'all, man, y'all better get out while you can. You better get out while you can. This is Isaiah 54, 11 to 14. This is talking about Israel. Go ahead and read.
Isaiah chapter 54, verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comfort, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphire.
And this is talking about what he's going to do with Jerusalem, right? Because remember, the people of Israel, specifically the southern kingdom, he's calling them, he said, afflicted, tossed with a tempest, comforted, talking about the city and, you know, by extension, the people. Behold, I will lay thy stone with fair colors and lay thy foundation with sapphires. Continue.
And I will make my window of a gate, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones.
Mm-hmm.
And thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children.
Mm-hmm.
And righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee.
I think it's pretty obvious, Jeff, that Tobit was drawing upon Isaiah when he said what he said. From how the city of Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt with precious stones to all the nations coming to the Lord with joy and gladness and presence. But Tobit went into a little more detail. He let you know that these nations that love God would be blessed by him. All that love God will be blessed by him. Tobit lets you know that. Tobit was an Israelite. Why is it that the real Israelites, the biblical Israelites, they keep extending invitations to the Gentiles, but the 1 West Hebrews are not? Now, who are you going to believe? That's the keeper of the book. Or are you going to believe the actual biblical Gentiles? Or some modern-day washed-down, watered-down, so-called Israelites. Just keep it above. You don't ever supposed to believe the person that's fighting the material over the material. Y'all got it backwards. Ain't none of us above the book. The problem is y'all start believing the interpreters of the book over the book itself. The Bible makes this stuff very clear. Y'all are not struggling to understand this. This is not something y'all are struggling with as far as just reading words. You've already been tainted by a camp. They got to you before we did. Or even worse, they got to you before you got to yourself. That's the problem. A lot of y'all make the mistake of joining camps without even giving yourself a chance to study this word. Now, I'm not against joining a camp. You know, you're supposed to be a part of a group. But some of us just have so low self-esteem that we don't believe that we can get a voice from the Most High when we're reading his word. And I don't mean a literal voice. I mean like the voice of understanding. So we just go into a camp blindly and we just believe whatever they tell us. If you had already read Tobit 13 before you joined the One West camp, there's no way in the world they'd be able to convince you that the Gentiles don't have a blessing coming in the kingdom. Tobit even starts out by talking about the kingdom of God. Didn't he say that, Jeff?
That's right.
He even said the kingdom of God. See, that's why I love the Apocrypha. Does the Apocrypha dumb it down or what? Just like with that Wisdom chapter 2, being a prophecy of Jesus, man, oh man, does it dumb that down. It's so obvious, like, God dang, it got everything in there but it ain't. You can't get around stuff like this. It's the same thing with Tobit. He makes it very obvious. Let's go back to Tobit. Let's go to Tobit 14. Because Tobit doubles down on this. He wanted to let us know, yo, this come out non-Israelite, y'all. Getting a blessing. And you're going to be able to tell how he worded this. That's what I'm saying right now. Don't come on my face with that. That's talking about scattered Israelites. I'm going to kick you right off. But I ain't worried about that anyway, because you got to get past Genesis 12, 1 through 3. That's your admission to stay on the stage. You got to properly exegete Genesis 12, 1 through 3. You got to tell us when and how all the nations would be blessed in Abraham. Meaning, when did that happen? And how was it carried out or would be carried out? That's what you got to do, you know, if you disagree with this presentation. That's the first thing you got to do. Don't just come on here citing random verses about what God is going to do to the wicked Gentiles. We already know that. We already know there's going to be some wicked Gentiles that are going to be killed and enslaved. We already know that. Don't waste our time. So what we want you to do is explain the prophecy in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, and then show us when that would happen. If you can't even do that, don't even get on stage, because I know you're not really trying to build. But this is Tobit 14. We're going to read verses 4 to 7. This is Tobit talking to Tobias. Go ahead and read.
Tobit chapter 14, verse 4. Go into Media, my son, for I surely believe those things with which Jonah the prophet spake of Nineveh, that it shall be overthrown, and that for a time peace shall rather be in Media, and that our brethren shall lie scattered in the earth from that good land, and Jerusalem shall be desolate, and the house of God in it shall be burned, and shall be desolate for a time.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And that again God will have mercy on them and bring them again into the land where they shall build the temple, but not like to the first, until the time of that age be fulfilled, and afterward they shall return from all places of their captivity and build up Jerusalem gloriously, and the house of God shall be built in it with a glorious building. prophets have spoken thereof.
And we just read that in Isaiah 54. So he's talking about the final time that Israel comes out of captivity. It's like that from all places. Right? Tobiah has some understanding, didn't he, Jeff? You brought up that.
Yeah, I don't remember all of this when I read it. Yes.
Right. Go ahead and read.
Verse 6. And all nations shall turn and fear the Lord God truly and shall bury their idols.
He said, and all nations shall turn and fear the Lord God truly and shall bury their idols. Now, you know this from all the Gentiles, right? Well, watch what else he says.
Verse 7. So shall all nations praise the Lord, and his people shall confess God, and the Lord shall exalt his people, and all those which love the Lord, Lord God, in truth and justice shall rejoice, showing mercy to our brethren.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Look what this says, right? It says, and all the nations shall turn and fear the Lord God truly. Right? Y'all do know fear the Lord God don't mean just walking around scared to death of him. That means obeying him. Right? Then it says, and shall bury their idols, so shall all nations praise the Lord, and his people shall confess God, that's the children of Israel, and the Lord shall exalt his people, Israel, and all those which love the Lord in truth and justice shall rejoice. Who is this talking about right here? It's going to let you know. Showing mercy to our brethren. Who are these people that love the Lord that's going to be showing mercy to the children of Israel?
That'd be the Gentiles.
That's the Gentiles. Tobit just told you that there are going to be people. Look what it says. So shall all nations praise the Lord, and his people shall confess God, and the Lord shall exalt his people, as Israel, and all those which love the Lord God in truth and justice shall rejoice. Who are these people talking about right here? Showing mercy to our brethren. He said all these nations which love the Lord God in truth and justice shall rejoice, and they're going to be showing mercy to Israel. But he told you in chapter 13 that all that love the Lord is going to be blessed. And Tobit just told you in chapter 14 that these nations is who we were talking about. How did they miss this?
You got to do a lot of twisting to get past that, man.
You're going to like a pretzel when you're done.
Right.
You can't get around this. You just can't. You've got to get rid of Tobit. Tobit makes it plain. And he's basing all of this off of prophecy, isn't he?
Right.
He told it kills the one with Hebrews. It kills them. They're not really either reading or they just don't care. See, there's a reason why we call ourselves absolute Bible truth, because we deal with absolutely everything the Bible says. That's why we call ourselves that. We ain't called cherry picking Bible truth. That's what a lot of these camps, churches, mosques, they all cherry pick. They treat the Bible like a buffet. You just go into it and just pick out what you like. You just ignore what you don't want. You mean to tell me y'all read Tobit and y'all ain't never came across this? No elder in any of these one West camps ever read Tobit. You believe that, Jeff?
Oh, I've learned about Tobit through them.
Through them. They taught you about Tobit.
Yeah.
And Tobit is the one telling you that the Gentiles are going to be blessed if they love God. But he also told you the ones that hate him are going to be cursed. Those are the ones y'all like to point out that's going to be enslaved and conquered. But y'all don't like to show the other side of that coin, do y'all? That's why I can't ever rock with one of y'all. That don't mean I ain't cool with you, but I can never rock with y'all. I could never become a One West Hebrew because it's just too much things you have to ignore to be that. You have to give up so much of your own intelligence to do that. I could never do that. I love the Most High and His Word too much to be a One West Hebrew. See, y'all don't love the Most High like y'all think y'all do. Y'all love your organization. See, a lot of y'all confuse the organization with the Most High. So when people start showing you discrepancies between what the Most High says and what your organization says, you short circuit because you think they're the same in one. They're not. So to reconcile it, you try to make the Most High agree with your organization instead of going back to your organization and trying to get them to agree with the Most High. That's why you do crazy stuff like, oh, the Gentiles is talking about the northern kingdom or scattered Israelites. You can play that game in other verses, and it'll take a little work to show you that that's still a lie. But verses like this, you can't do that with these. I would love to see a One West Hebrew try to make this mean something other than what it's saying. I would love to see that, Jeff. I don't think any one of them is that stupid enough to try that. They know what this is saying. And I can even get even deeper with it, Jeff, by showing you how this reads in other translations. And it makes it even clearer. So they see it. They ain't going to come on here and challenge me on that. They ain't going to, I challenge you on that Tobit 13. If somebody does, it's a Johnny come lately who don't know better. Ain't no season one West Hebrew veteran finna come on this stage and try to pull that crap. Because he know all his people going to come flooding in behind him, and they're going to see him get owned. Or even worse, they're going to see him break it down, and they're going to be smart enough. That ain't what that's really saying. But now let's move on. Now let's go to Zechariah chapter 2. I don't know why we're even playing games. They're going to be blessed, too, if they love God. I like the way Tobit worded it. Those that love thee shall be blessed. Those that hate thee shall be cursed. Who are the Gentiles that hate him? The ones that are going to try to fight him when he comes back. Who are the ones that love him? The ones that don't join him. But I'll let the book tell y'all that. That's what I'm saying. Everybody not deceived, Jeff. You know that, right?
Sure.
Everybody not deceived. Y'all have to believe me when I tell y'all this. There are people in this world and on this app who know everything I'm telling y'all, probably knew it before me, and still chose to deliberately lie to you. Y'all so trusting. Y'all can't believe that there are people on this app that deliberately lie about the Bible. I think everybody just got good intentions. Well, if he don't see it, he's making a mistake. No. You got to stop being so naive. You got to grow up. Maybe they didn't know at first, but after encountering the likes of me and Dre and Trilla and all the rest of y'all, after encountering us, we don't bother to pay attention. And I know after we showed it to them, when they got home by themselves or any alone time they had, they went and looked at those verses again because, you know, they want to make sure they can try to find something wrong with it. And when they couldn't, they said, man, I know what say that. But, oh, well, I've been a One West Hebrew for 10 years, and I'm going to keep being one. Don't even care. That's how it is for religion. That's how religion is for most people. I hope y'all understand that. Nobody really takes religion that seriously no more. Nobody really just looking at this stuff like, man, I better get this right, man, or I might go to hell. It's like, whatever. Christians do it. Muslims do it.
I can get a Christian on this stage right now, point out a million things they teaching wrong at his church. You think he's going to stop going to that church? Think he even going to go back and question the pastor? No. That's how most people view their religion. It's just like, you know, this is what I know, this is what I'm going to stick with. They don't see this as a journey to the truth. But this is Zechariah chapter 2, 10 to 13. Real basic scripture we're about to read too, Jeff. Can't even really misinterpret it. Zechariah chapter 2, 10 to 13. Read that, please.
Zechariah chapter 2. Verse 10, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee,
daughter
of the Lord.
Daughter of Zion, that just means Jerusalem. He's telling the city to sing, by extension the people. Y'all know because a city does not literally sing, right? So we know that's talking about Israel. Okay, no big deal. Read verse 11.
Verse 11, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee.
Now, wait a minute. It says, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, that's come out in the day of the kingdom, and shall be my people. Do I even need to interpret that? Yeah.
Plain and simple to me.
It's that many nations. And don't try to make no many nations mean scattered Israelites. Y'all know that ain't what many nations ever mean in the Bible. It means exactly what it says, many nations, meaning from all over the world. People from different nations. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. This is the prophet Zechariah saying that many nations shall join the Lord and be his people. That coincides with Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Because they become his people, they are definitely blessed. That also coincides with Tobit chapter 13. Those that love you, you will bless them. But can you read it?
Verse 12. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again.
Mm-hmm.
Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation.
What's that? Be silent, O all flesh. That means all people, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation, meaning he's about to make a move. But it just said, many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. These are Gentile nations, y'all. Why don't they ever point this out, Jeff? This is in Zechariah 2, the second chapter. They ain't never read this. Of course they've read this before. If they're his people, that means they get a blessing. Let's move on. Still in Zechariah. Because this is ridiculous to me. But I'm saying, you got to really turn your brain off to be a one with Hebrew. You got to really just shut down. I'm serious. I'm not saying you're stupid. I don't want y'all to take it like that. When I say shut your brain off, that means stop thinking for yourself. You really got to do that. You mean to tell me you can honestly read a verse like that and you don't see the nations becoming God's people? You know, the ones that love him, because Toby lets you know, only certain ones. You can't see that when you read this? Are you that indoctrinated? I would be scary to know that any organization has that kind of hold over my mental. No one should have that kind of hold over your mental. Nothing should have that kind of hold over your mental. That's crazy.
I know y'all see this stuff. Do anybody get anything different out of Zechariah 2 and verse 11? Can anybody show me anything? That's what it says. Right? He said, they shall be my people. Many nations shall join to them, to him. That's what it says. But it's Zechariah chapter 8. Now, we've read this one before, but now it's going to be even more powerful. Zechariah 8, 20 to 23. Go ahead and read, Jeff.
Zechariah 8, verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities.
Mm-hmm.
And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also.
That sounds like Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. You know, in the last days, the Lord's house shall be established in the mountains, and all nations shall flow into it, and many shall say, let us go up and learn about the Lord and his ways. It's the same time period. He's just giving you more detail on what's going to be said during this time. Continue.
Verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem.
It says, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. It says strong nations. These are Gentile nations, y'all. These ain't no Israelites. Continue.
Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of them that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. For we have heard that God is with you.
It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, this is in the future, because y'all know this is not happening now. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations. These are people from these many strong nations. You see, same people. Shall take hold out of all languages of all nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. They're going to be grabbing Israelites by the fringes and saying, we want to go with you because we have heard that God is with you. We want to learn about the God of Israel from you. That fulfills the prophecy Genesis 18, verses 17 and 18, when he says, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This is talking about they want to go with the Jews. If it was the one West Hebrew at this time in history, what do you think they would say if somebody grabbed them by the fringe and said that? They'd be like, yeah, come on, because you're going to go straight to captivity or die. That doesn't make sense. These people want to go with them. Can everybody see that these people want to go with them? Can we at least agree that we see that? Do y'all see the enthusiasm? Do y'all see that?
Yeah.
These people want to go with them. Ain't nobody trying to follow no one West Hebrew nowhere. Not like, the people from the other nations. Y'all been preaching hate and damnation and destruction and slavery to them. Ain't nobody finna grab y'all by the fringe and be like, hey, we want to go with you. Y'all been telling them, we going to kill y'all. We going to rape your children. Not all camps teach that, by the way, but some camps even teach that, yes.
Yeah,
remember there was one brother from ISUPK. He said when it came time to punish the Gentiles, he was going to set their hair on fire. And then he have a bucket that appeared to be water offered to him, and but it's going to be gasoline. He's going to pour it on their head.
Well, I guess he ain't one of the people in this prophecy then.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all are not the real Israelites. Y'all cannot be the real Israelites. Y'all either are not real Israelites. Y'all might turn out to be Esau or Arab or some Hamites. Or y'all are real Israelites, but y'all ain't part of their remnant. You follow what I'm saying? Either way, you're not getting in the kingdom. The people at this time in history want what Israel has to offer them. So much so that they're literally grabbing you by one of your fringes. So you ain't going anywhere. We going with you. You know, when you grab somebody by their clothes, then you emphasize it. You ain't getting away from me. That's what it symbolizes, by the way. I hope y'all understand that. When you grab somebody by the clothing, that shows the emphasis of, no, I'm not letting you out of my sight. You know, they could have easily just been like, hey, can we go with you? No, when you start grabbing people's clothes, that means you're trying to make sure they don't get away from you. Because they know they could be blessed the same way Israel is blessed. That's all we've been reading. Let's move on. Let's go to Ezekiel 47. We don't read this one before, too. But when we lay the foundation like we lay it, you can't play games with these verses no more. You can't play games with this verse anyway. Whoever tried to make the stranger in Ezekiel 47 be a scattered Israelite, you are a moron. I said it. And I mean a literal moron. I don't mean like how I broke down that other class, or like why the Bible and me call people stupid. I mean, like, you really lack intelligence. You know what I'm saying? You really lack intelligence. But the reason why you lack intelligence is because you are stupid enough to think we're going to fall for that. See, sometimes people reveal how stupid they are by showing you how stupid they think you are. And what I mean by that is, you ever told somebody, you must really be stupid if you think I'm stupid enough to fall for that. Because that's what they'll do.
Been written on my forehead.
Yeah, do I have stupid written on my forehead? You're dealing with intelligent people in this room right here, on this stage, in this audience. You're dealing with intelligent people. That crap ain't going to fly with me. You ain't going to play, oh, that's a scattered Israelite. Why? Because you said so? You didn't even show how that came to be. They just tell you that. They don't even show how that came to be. Anyone West Hebrew, guarantee you, they can walk you all the way through Israel splitting, and when the northern kingdom became known as, you know, Israel or Samaria, you follow what I'm saying, or Ephraim, they can break that down and walk you through it showing scripture. They can show the same thing with the southern kingdom, how it became known as Judah or Jerusalem. They can show you that. But they can't ever show you at what point of time where Gentiles, which from meaning the nation, the non-Israelite nation, to now scattered Israelites. Now, why is it that you can show one but you can't show the other? Why is it we get to the New Testament and now Gentiles just suddenly mean Northern Kingdom? When did that occur? I mean, if that's the case, we should be able to pinpoint that. If I ask you, if I ask anyone West Hebrew right now, when did the Northern Kingdom become a thing? When did Israel separate into two nations and there was Northern and Southern Kingdom? You go to 1 Kings 11. They'll walk you all the way through it. But when you ask them, where is the pinpoint time in the scriptures when Gentiles became synonymous with scattered Israelites? They can't show you that because there's nowhere in the Bible that states that or in the Apocrypha.
just like a lot of them teach, that the name Esau means wasted away is heat. Been petitioning for literally 11 years. Any Israelite to give me a credible source that states that the name Esau means wasted away is heat. Nobody has ever stepped up and gave you one credible source. You know why? Because that's some crap you learned at your camp. And you're okay with that. There's another thing y'all got to understand. Don't waste your time talking to people that's comfortable with lies. If they're okay with lies, let them be. See, we kind of forget that sometimes. It's kind of like what me and Kevin and a few of us was talking about last week. You know, when to leave people alone. See, I've discovered a lot of people are comfortable with lies. If you're comfortable with the lie, I'm not going to bother you. A lot of these people made peace with the lie. They love the lie. All you're doing is pissing them off. I'm over here trying to enjoy my fantasy, and you keep trying to hit me with reality. Getting on my nerve, Jeff. Every time I try to get in my little fantasy world, you keep waking me up. That's how they see you after a while. Let them have their lie. Let them live it. But if they come at you with them, give them a rude awakening. They come at you with it. But don't go bothering them. Y'all got to understand that, man. Y'all got to get more psychological about this stuff. That's another thing that I see people lack. See, I'm a psychology major, right? Now, I'm not saying you got to be cerebral, dialed up to 11 all the time, but sometimes y'all really got to try to get into the minds of the people you're dealing with and try to understand why they are the way they are. And a lot of these people just love the lie. And if somebody loves a lie, they're going to hate the truth and anybody who's bringing it. So you got to back off. There's a lot of people at the One West Camp, they know a lot of that stuff they're being taught is some bull. They know that. But they love the organization and they love the ideology. They know. I mean, come on, y'all. These people are not stupid. They just don't care. I like to use references for movies. Y'all have seen The Dark Knight Rises, you know, the third Batman in the trilogy, you know, with Bane. You saw that one, Jeff?
Yeah, I saw that.
You remember when Catwoman was on the roof and she had that guy held hostage at gunpoint so that Bane's mercenary, she telling him to back off. She said, back off or I'll shoot. I'm serious, Batman said. They know. They just don't care.
Right.
That's how it is with a lot of these One West Hebrews. They know. They just don't care. Y'all better stop thinking these people don't know. They know. You can tell that they know. Trilla, and y'all want to get like a more detailed description on knowing how they know, talk to Trilla and Dre. They'll tell you some of the stuff these guys come up with on the spot when they back them into a corner. I mean, on the spot. Like, right off the dome. That's how you know they know. They just don't care. The question is, do you care? If you do care, then you're in the right spot. If you don't, just keep living the lie. See how far you go. See how well you do. Right? It's Ezekiel 47, verse 13, then we're going to skip. Go ahead and read.
Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 13. Thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel.
Now,
Joseph,
finish that.
Joseph shall have two portions.
Now, this is talking about in the future, when Israel returns to the land and how they are getting their inheritance according to tribes, which is the land borders, right? We're not going to read all the specifics. We're just going to get to something very significant that it says, right? Skip down and read verses 21 to 23.
Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 21. So shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you,
mm-hmm.
and to the strangers that sojourn among you.
Now look what it says. And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you. The you is the 12 tribes of Israel. Then it says, and to the strangers that sojourn among you. Can you believe there are one West Hebrews that try to make the strangers be Israelites too? I got a question, Jeff. If this is when Israel is back in the land, why the heck would any of them still be referred to as a stranger?
As strangers, yeah, that's a good question.
That's just stupid. If they're all...
I always ask you, Josh, I say, what's the difference between y'all and them today? If they the strangers and you the Israelite, brothers, you're stuck on Chuck.
Because they know that's stupid. I'm not going to entertain that. Stranger means as opposed to being an Israelite. Non-Israelite.
Stranger means Hellenized Jews, nephew. Hellenized.
That's what they try to say. Why would they even be called Hellenized Jews? This is when righteous Israel is back in the land. That's another thing I don't understand. Why are y'all are telling us that these are negative labels? Y'all telling us that Gentile is a negative label when it's applied to an Israelite, because that means he's living like a Gentile. So why would you still have this negative connotation on him if he's living righteously now? This is in the future, when righteous Israel is going to be back in the land. So why would anybody have the designation of stranger? What, God don't know him? Who would be a stranger to, Drake? That's what I want to know.
They can have answers. Because if by that logic, they should be the stranger. You know what I mean? But if they say they the stranger, I ask them who's the Israelite.
Right. I mean, but...
They stuck.
But my question is, who are they a stranger to? Are they?
No answer on that.
It doesn't make any sense. If you're going to call somebody a stranger, they have to be a stranger to somebody, meaning somebody don't know who they are. But they're all back in the land to the point where they're even getting their inheritance divided up by tribe. So stranger here has to mean non-Israelite. So it says, and it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you and to the stranger that sojourn among you. Finish that, Jeff. We shall what?
Which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel.
Any fool can see that this is somebody who's not an Israelite. Look how they're separating them from the Israelites. You can clearly see this is the people that are partaking of something that God gave Israel. Anybody can see that. Do not come on my stage and say that stranger here is talking about Israelite. If you do, I'm going to call you stupid and I'm going to kick you off my stage. It's just some stuff, y'all, I don't play with. You can be stuck on stupid if you want to. It's some stuff that if you come on here and we talk about, I can generally understand why you might have a different view on that. I can. But stuff like this, come on. That's just one West talking right there. That ain't even you talking. I can tell when you're talking and when your camp is talking. I'm still waiting for the real you to stand up. I ain't came across a real you since I talked to a one West Hebrew. Well, I take that back. We came across two or three. From 99.9% of the time, when you talk to them, you're talking to the camp doctrine. We try to get them to think for themselves. That's all I want everybody to do. Think for yourself. That's it. But now read the rest of that.
Ezekiel 47, verse 23. And it shall come to pass that in what tribes and strangers sojourneth, Now, there shall ye give him his inheritance, saith the Lord God.
Now, look what it says. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall ye give him his inheritance, saith the Lord God. This is exactly how it talks about strangers in the law, sojourning among Israel. The stranger is going to get an inheritance with Israel. Inheritance is a blessing. If you don't believe that, just read the story of Jacob and Esau. When Esau sold his birthright, your birthright comes with an inheritance, right? What did Isaac first say to Jacob when he was impersonating Esau? He said, come, my son, I might eat of your venison, and I may bless you. That's the blessing. So and this is during the time of the kingdom. So the Gentiles are going to get an inheritance, the righteous ones, the ones that love God. See, Tobin, let that be known. You can't play with this stuff. Do y'all even fear God? That's one thing I can say about the Israel of God. Bowie taught us to fear God and to fear getting his word wrong, you know, by trying to impose our own will on it. That's one thing he did instill in us at the Israel of God, and I'm pretty sure he still does. But the way some of these people get all loose and liberal with this word, I'm like, man, y'all don't believe this. Y'all might as well be reading Harry Potter. Y'all don't take this stuff seriously. You don't even fear that you might be pissing God off, playing with his word like that. I take this very seriously. That's why I got very low tolerance. I just kick these fools off my face. Look, y'all ain't trying to, y'all have nothing to offer me. You're not trying to learn, and you have nothing to teach. Why are we talking? Just a waste of time. So we see that's another blessing, right? Again, Genesis 12, 1 through 3 fulfilled. Let's go to Matthew 8, and we got one more after that. Because Jesus had something to say about this kingdom, too. Y'all just piling up y'all sin, man. But you know what? Somebody got to go to hell. That's what the book say. Somebody got to go. We just got to make sure it's not us. I can tell you one thing, one of the quickest ways to go to hell is to play with God's word. You follow what I'm saying? That's one of the quickest ways, ain't it? Don't do that. We got enough stuff we struggle with as it is. You know what I'm saying? We all got stuff we trying to fix about ourselves and trying to, you know, better and overcome. You want to add tampering with God's word to your record? How you going to explain that one on Judgment Day, Jeff? You can explain, you know, getting caught up in lust or something, you know what I'm saying, having a weak moment, having an addiction. You know, that stuff got explanations. You feel me? And you can tell the Most High, if you were trying, you know, I was trying to kick it. I was trying to fight it. And he knows if you tell the truth or not because he knows your heart. But how do you explain to him on Judgment Day deliberately lying about his word? How do you do that one? See, that's the type of stuff I be thinking about. Like, do y'all even fear God? I'm going to do a whole class on the fear of the Lord. Because I don't think the fear of the Lord is really being taught in these camps. I think the fear of the elder is being taught.
Right.
Y'all don't really fear Yahweh. I can tell y'all don't. So the second somebody start showing you the word of Yahweh, you start talking about what your elder said. I'm telling y'all, man, this is the truth. I'm just saying out loud what a lot of y'all been thinking. That's all I'm doing. Right? This is Matthew 8. This is when Jesus healed this centurion, a Roman soldier, a Gentile. Go ahead and read. And you're going to be able to tell from the context that this is a Gentile. Go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered in Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lie at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him.
Mm-hmm.
The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.
Mm-hmm.
For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it.
Now, look what this guy said. Look at this guy's humility. He says, and when Jesus was entered the Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, begging him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. I mean, he in a lot of pain. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Now, this is a guy who had a lot of authority, though. And yet he's telling Jesus, I'm not worthy. That's something to think about, y'all. A lot of us don't got that humility like that. You follow what I'm saying? And keep in mind that the Romans ruled over Israel at this time in history. They were basically the slaves of the Romans. And this guy is telling one of the people who his nation has ruled over, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Do we have that kind of humility? Or do we just want to come on this app and show how great we are? But go ahead and read.
Verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel.
And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. What he means is among his own people. That's why he made that statement. And to prove that that's what he meant, watch what he says in the next verse. Go ahead.
And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven.
He said, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That means from all over the world. This ain't talking about no scattered Israelites he's talking about, because he's going to let you know what he means. Go ahead and read.
Verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Sisters and brothers, the children of the kingdom are the Israelites. So who are these other people coming from the east and the west that's going to sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Those are Gentiles, y'all. Because the children of the kingdom are Israelites. In the New Testament, children of the kingdom is synonymous with children of Israel, children of Abraham, children of the covenant. You can't tell me that children of the kingdom is Israel and then tell me that these other people in verse 11 are also Israel? And why would he even make this comment based off of something a Roman centurion did.
That's right.
You got to be honest with yourself. The context is, I see more faith in this Roman Gentile, actual Gentile, than I've seen in my own people. In fact, other people who are not Israel are going to be in the kingdom. While the children of the kingdom, that means the people who the kingdom was originally made for, going to be cast out. So what we just learned here, sisters and brothers, is that not only are the Gentiles going to be blessed in the kingdom, some Israelites are not. You going to play with this verse too? You going to pretend like you don't see why Jesus said what he said? Why is he drawing a distinction between the children of the kingdom and other people coming from the east and the west? You got to be honest with yourself. Let's go to the last one.
You want me to finish up? Oh, okay, you said 12. Okay, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What was that again?
Matthew 21.
Okay.
Matthew 21. This is after Jesus did the parable of the husbandman, where it speaks of the guy who left his wine press, I'm sorry, his vineyard in the hands of one of his servants. Make sure I'm looking at this. I ain't get my parables confused. We're going to start reading. Verse 33, we're going to read 33 to 43. Matthew 21, 33 to 43, go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 21, verse 33, the parable of the wicked tenants. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country.
So it says, here another parable. There was a certain householder who was planting a vineyard and hedged it around about and dig a wine press in it and built the tower and left it out to husbandmen, you know, like farmers, and went into a far country. Continue.
Verse 34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it.
It says, and when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, you know, the farmers that he left it to, you know, to take care of it, that they might receive the fruits of it, right? Watch what happens.
Verse 35, and the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another.
Just a spoiler, the husbandmen are the children of Israel. The householder, that's God. The servants that he's sending, they are the prophets that God would send to the children of Israel. And them being beat and stoned and killed is what the children of Israel did to their prophets. Continue.
Verse 36. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise.
Yep, that's what Israel did. They beat, abused, and killed their own prophets that God sent to them, telling them to repent. Continue.
Verse 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son.
And the son here obviously represents the last he sent his son, saying they will respect my son, right? Because they know he's my son, right? Continue.
Verse 38. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance.
So instead, they did the reverse. And, you know, they actually killed Jesus, right? Continue.
And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?
So Jesus was asking his audience, what do you think the Lord of the vineyard is going to do to those wicked farmers when he comes? They're going to answer him. Continue.
Verse 41. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their season.
And see, these fruits and this farming, this represents what God gave Israel. And Israel did not take care of it. They did not honor it. They did not appreciate it. That's what you're reading about here. This whole parable is about God giving Israel something, and they did not do it correctly. And every time he tried to send somebody to correct them, they abused them, killed them, whatever. Even up to him sending his own son, which they actually did to Jesus. They killed him, right? Now, and watch what Jesus tells them. Go ahead and read.
Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
He said, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. It's the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He's quoting Psalm 118 and 22, I believe. But he's telling them that I am the stone that the builders rejected. This whole parable is about up to the sun, all these people were being rejected. But Jesus was the final one to be rejected. That's what this is talking about. Now watch what he tells his audience, which was the Israelite audience. Go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. Therefore say unto you, kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof.
He said, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. He's talking about the Israelites, y'all. Now, he's not saying that all Israelites are going to lose the kingdom of God. He was just talking about the wicked ones. But who's this other nation that is going to be given to, that's going to bring forth the fruits thereof? It's about the Gentiles, y'all. That's the same thing Paul said in Acts 28. When the Hebrews didn't want to hear what he said, the ones that didn't want to hear, he said, salvation is going to come to the Gentiles and they shall hear it. But again, this shows you that there's going to be Gentiles that are going to be blessed by the kingdom. And not just the actual kingdom, by the way, y'all, but the gospel that accompanies the kingdom, like before you get to the actual kingdom. But we can see that the blessings of the Gentiles pertains to the kingdom and is in the kingdom. And that some Israelites are not going to get in. While there's going to be some Gentiles chilling in there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, sisters and brothers, we have shown you the blessings of the Gentiles in the kingdom. And if anybody tells you that the Gentiles only got death and slavery coming, just tell them you're just not reading the book. We'll be back after these brief announcements. Okay, everybody. First of all, we'd like to thank all 74 of you with us. You're 75 in the room, but you know I don't count myself. Just so you know, we have Sabbath class every week, every Saturday, every Shabbat. We open the clubhouse room at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then I try to play some nice music for y'all for about 30 minutes. And class actually starts around 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Most of you already know that. That's the reason why y'all show up around 5:20, 5:25. If anybody's interested in ordering a past class, you can do so by going to our online store. All this information is under my thumbnail. You can just click on my thumbnail, scroll down to the links. But if you're interested in ordering a past class, you can do so by going to our online store. The website address is absolutebibletruth.com/store. Again, that's absolutebibletruth.com/store. And people have definitely been taking advantage of the online store and playing catch up and just getting some additional information that they ain't been around yet. Also, if you're interested in making a donation, if you feel blessed by what you're hearing and would just like to show some support, you can do so one or two ways. This information is also on my thumbnail. The first way you can donate is through PayPal using our email address, which is absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. That's absolutebibletruth4eva@yahoo.com. You don't spell out the word four, you actually type the numerical digit four. So that's absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. And of course, the other way you can donate is through Cash App using the Cash App tab, which is $ABTM_S. Again, that's $ABTM_S. And that simply stands for Absolute Bible Truth Ministries. At this time, we're going to bring on Ariel, a.k.a. the Prince of Positivity, and he's going to give you a brief summary of what we covered today, as well as any announcements he may have. Are you there, Ariel?
Shalom. Can you hear me?
You're loud and clear, sir.
Awesome. All praise to the Most